The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be known, done to you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace, courage and persistence, dear people of God. Courage and persistence. Amen. She persisted. It's her persistence that captures my attention this week. This Canaanite woman, this mother, crossed the lines of gender and ethnicity and race and religion and national border and social decorum, for goodness sake, to cry out to Jesus, begging for healing for her demon-wrought daughter. She persisted. Dogged, honest, desperate, powerful, perhaps terrified, and she persisted. Somehow I've needed to keep her voice, her persistence, as a counterpoint to the news of this last week. And what a week. What a week. What a time. The footage and language from an HBO Vice News Tonight documentary is seared in my mind's eye. The torchlit procession moving through the dark streets of Charlottesville. The hardened faces, angry, ready, low voices intoning. The chants, some dredged from Nazi-era propaganda, all harsh, all jarring in this age, in this time. I had read articles and I had heard news stories about the white supremacists' rally last Saturday, but journalist Ellie Reeves' interviews in that documentary, that's what haunts me. Spanning this 48-hour period, Reeves tries her best to get behind the language and behind the violence. And as a good journalist, she asks questions, straight-faced, straight-faced. But her eyes seem to grow more and more weary and alarmed at what she hears and at what she witnesses. In a Slate.com blog about this documentary, and one particular man who Ellie Reeves interviews multiple times, Leon Nefake, says it showed us in unforgettable detail how he talks and how he moves and how he lives and breathes violence. It is an argument for not looking away. She persisted. People of God, hear me clearly. White supremacy, like marched in Charlottesville, and white supremacy that is in the very air that we breathe and in the institutions that we love. It is sinful, and it is wrong, and it is soul depleting, and it is life denying. Too often the church has looked away. Too often people have faith, have even looked away. We must not look away. That rally, those interviews, the terrifying violent words and actions, the counter-protests and the death of Heather Heyer and the injuries physical and spiritual of so many others, and then our nation's response at every level, they have raised to a new level the tensions surrounding race in our country. We're quick to avoid tension, aren't we? Schooled a little too well in making it all right. There's no denying it now. There's no backing up. We must not look away. Our gospel this morning is filled with its own tension. First, there's the hard-to-stomach hypocrisy from Jesus. Did you hear how he condemns the Pharisees' rigid practices that fail to care for the person? But then in nearly the next breath, when the Canaanite woman cries, he does just what he had condemned. Interestingly, if we'd read all of this in the Greek, we'd notice the alliteration, the Greek alliteration going on. The Canaanite woman cries, Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy, on the one side of Jesus, and his irritable disciples echo, apollyson, get rid of her, on the other side of Jesus. Kyrie eleison, apollyson. Kyrie eleison, apollyson. Lord, have mercy. Get rid of her. Oh, the tension. The tension. And she persists. And what do we do when Jesus insists that his mission zone is limited and this desperate woman happens to fall outside the catchment area, if you will? And how do we react when he compares her to a dog? That's a racial slur, if ever there was one. Over the years, the scholars have found one way or another around this tension. Oh, Jesus, he's just testing her. Or let's just gloss over this, since it seems so uncharacteristic of our Savior. Honestly, I find this gospel story most compelling and particularly timely when we embrace its tension. When we embrace its tension, Jesus learns something from this woman. Jesus changes and he grows, and his vision, truly his mission zone, it widens. And as much as I wish it hadn't gone down like it did, I hear good news in the way this Canaanite woman persists. And I hear good news in Jesus' own willingness to be moved by her persistence. There is a compassion in having a Savior who is human enough to err and holy enough to be won over by love and by healing. For me, that redeems this tension-filled story. It redeems it. And in that redemption, I pray we also can grow. We also can change. We also can be moved. We also can confess. We also can speak and hear hard truths. Our congregation's racial justice team has drafted a racial justice statement. We hope that over the next months, this statement will be fodder for deeper conversation and for confession, for growth and learning, and surely a share of tension as well. We anticipate a congregational vote on the statement in February at the annual meeting, so we have time to talk about it now. The draft reads, "We profess that all people are beloved of God and are called to be a blessing to one another. We reject as contrary to God's will anything that erodes our shared humanity, including unjust laws and unfair practices and hostile acts, unconscious bias, white supremacy, and fear of people of other ethnicities or cultures. And we actively seek to stand together with people of all ethnicities and cultures to promote the joy of fellowship and the dignity of equal opportunity." With the racial justice team over the months, I invite our entire congregation into this sacred tension. My friend and colleague, Ober Ballinger, serves as pastor of Edina Morningside United Church of Christ. This week, he spoke with Carrie Miller on NPR, and Obi said, as a white pastor serving a mostly white church, it feels like the calling now is to equip our community to keep facing racism despite white fragility, where white folks are tempted to shut down in the face of racial realities. And then he went on, "I continue coming back to this quote from Adrienne Marie Brown last year. Things are not getting worse. They are getting uncovered. We must hold each other tight and continue to pull back the veil." Let me say that quote again. It's important. Things are not getting worse. They are getting uncovered. We must hold each other tight and continue to pull back the veil. So true, so true. Things are not getting worse. They are getting uncovered. And in that tension, there is healing. Healing for the Canaanite woman's daughter. Healing for those whose skin we call black or brown, and healing too for those whose skin we call white. It is threatening. Let's not kid ourselves. Last week's violence, the dialogue of this week, it makes it very clear this threatens many. But from this tension, healing can come. And that is why we persist. That is why we persist. Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy. Kyrie eleison. Amen.